Welcome to Gateways Podcast. We hope God speaks to you through this message from Pastor Don Brock. For more information about Gateway, please visit www.gatewaybc.com.
I had the weirdest dream last night. It was nuts. And usually I don't remember them, but this one I remembered. I dreamed I was bowling, which I rarely ever bowl, with my brother. And I don't think I've ever bowled with my brother. And so I was bowling the ball. It somehow hit my foot, went backwards, rolled out the door, through the parking lot, onto a four-lane highway. And so it just startled me, and I woke up, and I'm sitting there going, "Lord, what's all that about?" And he basically said, "Don't dream about bowling." And it was just nuts. It was like one of those crazy, crazy dreams. And I was trying to think, all right, is there any spiritual thing I can draw out of this? And, again, the Lord says, it was a bowling ball. And, just trying to figure out these dreams. But, man, that was just odd. That was really weird. And it woke me up at like 3 o'clock in the morning. And you're just sitting there going, what was that all about? And every once in a while, I'll have one of those crazy dreams. And a lot of times, it'll have a friend in it. And I'll text them, and I'll say, "Hey, I just had a dream about you. What are you up to?" And they text me back real quick, real nervous, like, "I promise you I didn't do anything." And I said, "Well, not according to my dream." And but anyway, today, we're starting a new series. And I'm really excited about this. We're going to talk about Start With Me, and we're going to deal with several areas. Like today, we're going to talk about Start With Me in Myself, dealing with myself, dealing with yourself. And then next week, we're going to talk about Start With Me in My Marriage, and then in my community, and then in my workplace. And then on Mother's Day, we're going to finish up with Start With Me in My Family. And I'm excited about how God's developing this series and this message about some crucial, specific biblical truths. And today is kind of the foundation of everything we're going to be talking about. And so I want you to dig in with me, and let's really talk through that and talk through with what God is going to teach us in Scripture today. I had a dinner with a friend. We went to seminary together, and we probably got together for dinner. He was in town and wanted to hook up, so we went to dinner about, it's probably 3 or 4 months ago. And as we were sitting there talking, he says, "Don, you know we're the last two." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, there were 10 of us in seminary, and we'd go out to dinner, and we'd hang out together. We just kind of developed a good group of friends." I said, "Oh, yeah." He said, "You and I, we're the last two of those 10 that are still married to their first wives and still in ministry." Wow. I said, that's what I said. Wow, that's nuts. And then just a couple of weeks ago, a local pastor who's probably in his early 50s called me and wanted to go to lunch. And so we went to lunch, and he said, "I wanted to talk to you." I said, "All right." He said, how have you been able to finish well?" And I said, "Wait a minute, you're putting that in the past tense. I still got some time left. I'm not done yet. Unless you know, did you have a dream about me in a bowling ball? Did I get killed with that bowling ball?" And he said, "No," he said, I just want to know, how have you lasted in ministry? Because, he said, "I'm seeing friends drop like flies." And he says, "I struggle." And so here's what I shared with him. I said, "I've kept my life pretty simple about some basic truths in Scripture. And I keep my life focused on those simple truths." And there was a story where the religious people came to Jesus. In fact, there was this one guy who was an expert in the law. And he was trying to trap Jesus. They were always trying to do that. Yeah. And so he came to Jesus. In fact, follow with me in the passage on this. In Matthew chapter 22. He came to Jesus He said, "Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses?" And Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart." He's quoting Old Testament scripture. "All your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments." And some translations use the word hinge. They're hinged on these two commandments. So what I told my friend, I said, my entire life as a Christ follower is that I've been driven by the two great commands, love God and love others, and then the Great Commission, which for me can be summed up in two words, make disciples. And so I try to stay focused on those three things, loving God, loving others, and making disciples. And I find that my spiritual tank and my physical tank, I can easily keep those things filled up. But the one I struggle with, I told my friend, I struggle with my emotional tank. And I struggle with keeping that tank full because it's always draining. In fact, most of the ministers that I know that fail in ministry allowed their emotional tank to go dry. And I think it's really impossible to have an empty emotional tank and expect to have anything in your spiritual tank. I mean, it drains a lot quicker. And so they become dry spiritually. But when they're dry emotionally and dry spiritually, they're an easy setup for Satan. Amen. I said, so here's what I told him. I said, so I want to take you back to the great commandments. And many years ago, as I was studying that, two words jumped out at me. Two words that I didn't have a handle on. When Jesus said, love others as yourself. I said, wow, I'm not sure I do a very good job of that. In fact, what does that even mean? Because certainly he's not talking about self-love in the world sense. And in fact, before we go any further in this message, there's two extremes that we're not going to really get into. In this terms of this self-love, the extreme of self-love is something called narcissistic. And a person who gets labeled narcissistic, they're a hard person to deal with. There's no pill that you can take that'll fix that. And a person has to be, in fact, personally, I think the only thing that can overcome that is the power of God. Amen. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're not going to talk about that because the world is full of that. Our Western culture is a perfecter of that, that it's all about you. That's right. The other extreme that we're really not going to get into is the self-loathing. You hate yourself. You don't like the way you look. You don't like anything about your life. You hate the family you were born into. You just don't love yourself at all, and consequently, you don't love anything. And you become, both extremes are really very self-focused. Both extremes. Because the self-loathing person is all about their loathing. And so they're the kind of person, they're not able to love other people because they don't know how to love themselves. And all they focus on is their misery and their hatred for themselves. And so they're not able to love others. They're not able to love God, I don't think, unless the Holy Spirit just comes in and does a work in their life. So we're not talking about those two extremes. I'm talking about where the bulk of us are, right here in the center. So what does it mean to love others as yourself? Now, Jesus was talking about two commandments. So when he said, as yourself, he's not adding a third commandment. He's not saying, love God, love others, love yourself. He didn't say that. He said two commandments. And everything hinges on these two things. So what he was doing, he was using love yourself as a descriptor, a qualifier as to how we're to love others. It's a presupposition he's making here. So I need to unpackage that and understand what it does mean and what it does not mean. So let's walk through this. Now, these religious guys, they were testing Jesus. The rabbis had determined that there were 613 commandments contained in the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And there was one for each letter in the Ten Commandments. Now, before you go home and start counting that, you can't use your Bible to do that. You would have to have a Hebrew Bible to do that. So there are 613 Hebrew letters in the Ten Commandments. And so they had a law for each of those letters. And then they categorized them. They said that 248 were affirmative and 365 were negative commandments. And guess which ones they love to focus on? The negative ones. But then they divided it another way. And this is where all the problem was. They divided them between heavy commandments and light commandments. They believed that these heavy commandments were more important than the light commandments. And so they argued quite often, and there was a lot of division about whether something was a heavy commandment or a light commandment. So here is how the guy, this religious expert, was trying to trap Jesus. He wanted to see if Jesus had come up with his own theory of heavy commandments and light commandments. And by using this, Jesus would incriminate himself, they thought. And it would prove that he was not orthodoxed. And it would prove that he was not legit. So Jesus basically said, there are two heavy commandments that are actually positive, affirmative. And he said, everything else hinges on these two. So self-love was a reference point for Jesus. He went in describing on how you love other people. He was using self-love as a reference point. And it's kind of like when I was in elementary school, and probably happened to you, whenever you got had a test or homework from your teacher, you know, you're at the very beginning of your education. And so a lot of times they would fill in the first problem for you, or they give you the first answer, like in math or something, to show you what they're looking for, to show you how to do it. And it's kind of like what Jesus is doing. He says, you need to love others. And here's how you do it, just like you love yourself. So if I'm not getting this right, it's going to be pretty near impossible to get this right, loving other people. And so Jesus has given us this clue. So first of all, this is not a mandate for self-love. Because you see, I'm not to be in love with my sinful self. I'm not to be in love with that at all. And self-love, in a negative way, people who really are into the self-love, it's usually based on the sinful self, loving those things that please you, the flesh. But I think what he's referring to is loving your spiritual self, learning to love that new nature of who you are. In Psalms 51, verse 10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. That's who I need to be in love with. That's the self-love right there. That clean heart, that loyal spirit to Holy God. And then in Romans 12, 2, he's showing me how I'm not to be in love with the self life, the sinful life. He says, don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So I stop loving this person over here and this selfishness and all about me and change the way I think about myself because God has changed who I really am. He says, then you will learn to know God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So there is a right way to love self. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a key verse. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new life has begun. So I don't love the old life. That's the one that always got me in trouble. I love the new life. I love this new person that God has created me to be. That's who I'm to love. So I told my friend, my pastor friend, I said, I had to learn to love who I am in Christ. And then I could love others and love God the way I should. It changed everything. So it's not selfish. It's not self-focused. But learning to love who Christ is. Has made me to be, not who I used to be. Because who I used to be threw a gutter ball every time. Amen. You know, there's no express command in Scripture for a man to love himself. But God put a principle of this self-love in us. And that's what Jesus is speaking upon. He's put this principle of self-love in us. And love, that kind of love, is what I draw upon in knowing how to love other people. You know, there are cases where people love others more. I mean, we see that in our soldiers, men and women who will love their fellow soldier and love their country more than their own life, and they're willing to sacrifice it for our country and for their fellow soldier. We see time and time again, even in modern day life, where Christians who so love the church and so love Jesus, they're willing to put themselves in a position that they'll lose their life physically. For the sake of Christ. So that's even loving others more than loving yourself. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and since we have a high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. That's the me that I love. I love the person that God sees in me. And when God looks at me, He sees someone who's been washed in the blood of His Son. So He sees someone that is pure. When God looks at me, He sees someone His Son died for and accepted that. So He really actually sees Jesus. And who I am, that person, that's the one I love. And that's the one that I draw love from in order to love others properly. Because here's the deal. if I love people because it feeds me, I'm loving them for the wrong reason. And so I only want to hang around people who fill me up emotionally, because it's all about me. But if I love who Jesus is making me to be, and I love the Jesus that's in me, then I'm able and willing to love the unlovable, the ones that are tough to love, the difficult ones, because it's not based on me. You see, when I look at them, I can see myself. I can say, you know what? They kind of like, that's the way I was before Jesus came into my life, and I want them to experience the Jesus that's in me. And so because I love the Jesus that's in me and I love who I am because of Jesus, I'm willing to risk in order to love that person so that they can know about Jesus. And if they reject me, they're really rejecting Jesus. So it's not about me. I don't have to take it personally to risk loving that kind of person. So I told my friend, love God. I love others. But I had to learn to love myself in who God has created me to be, and who I am in Christ. And then I said, then that allows me to fulfill the other most important thing, the Great Commission, which is make disciples. You can sum up the Great Commission with those two words, make disciples. So the Greek word, when Jesus said, all the other laws hinge on these two. It's with the idea of like a door. Now, putting up a door is easy unless you have to install the hinges. Oh, my goodness. I mean, if I have to replace the door and the hinges are already installed, no big deal. You pull pins out, you stick the new door in place, put the pins back in, easy. But man, when there are no hinges, oh my goodness. You got to do some serious measurement, and you've got to be right on the money. And you got to, you know, you've got to chisel out the space where the hinge goes, and you got to chisel out the space on the door where the hinge goes, and they got to line up just right, because when you try to take that door, the hinges on the new door, and put it on the hinges that's in the door stub, I mean the door frame, unless it's lined up right, the hinges aren't even going to go in. And they got to be just right. And then even if they do fit, the door might not open or close because you made it too high or made it too low. I mean, when you have to install the hinges, that's crucial. That's precise. So you need to take it very, so you got to be serious when you're putting the hinges in. Same way in your life. You got to be very, very serious about loving God. If you miss that, then you're trying to hang your life on something that doesn't work. Amen. And loving others. Amen. Those are the two hinges of your life. And if you don't have those hinges right, your life is built on something that's not going to work. And then the making disciples, to me, that's the door. When the hinges are right, then the door easily opens and closes. And if I want my door to work properly, I got to have those hinges right. Love God, love others, then I can make disciples. Because I'm loving people for the right reason. So I told my friend, I challenged him, I said, I want you to go back and I want you to spend some serious study in Scripture and figure out what it means to love yourself. What does that look like? What do you have to do to love yourself? Because then I can love others. And it's all based on loving God. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting Him. For our guilty conscience has been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water." Jesus said, "I'm the living water." Now, I want to tell you straight up, this verse describes who I am in Christ, and that's the person I love. Who I am in Jesus is the me that I love. That's the you that you love. Not my old life, not my sin nature. That's dead, that's gone. I didn't love, you know what? I loved it for a while, but it was destroying me. But I love this new life. I love the fact that I can go to bed at night and not worry about my dreams, knowing that if I don't even wake up, that rolling ball comes up back from the four-lane road and rolls over my head. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be with Jesus.
Amen.
So I don't care what happens to me.
Amen.
Man, what a peace you have in life when you know that piece of information.
Yes.
I love who I am in Jesus. So in this series, we're gonna talk about you and me. And we're gonna start with you and me.